Good morning. Again, a thanks to our guests for joining us. And if we can serve you in any other way, we ask that you would contact our church office and we will endeavor to do that. This morning, we come together and celebrate Trinity Sunday, a time when we get together as a church and remember that our God is one, but has three distinct functions. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning explains a few of the functions of each one of these. Now, if it sounds like I'm going to get into some egg-headed theological discussion, you're wrong, because I don't have the ability. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through our text, and we're going to see those functions laid out to us by the Apostle Paul. He's going to let us know that God the Father has forgiven us through the actions of God the Son upon the cross, and that God the Holy Spirit reveals this to each and every one of us about how much we are loved by God. And because of this promise within our text, I can bring each of you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Reading in Jesus' name. Would you please stand for the hearing of the word? Romans 5, verses 1 through 12. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. Please be seated. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Here we have God the Father and God the Son listed. And that we have been justified by faith. Our justification comes through the work, finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is the thing that we all need to come to understand. It is not by our actions. It's not by what we do, or how sorry we feel for our sins, but rather it is by what Jesus Christ did, what God the Father allowed him to do, allowed him to sacrifice himself for us, so that we would be justified in his sight. And through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace with which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This whole text is about the victory we as sinners have. That we have hope that's much greater than what's here on earth. We live in a place that has been blessed. We are a people who other people have sacrificed their lives for. And God has chosen to, by His providence, I think that God put me here because He knows how weak I am. And He knows I'd probably fall away, but He's given me every blessing in this place and in this country. But we can hope even when things aren't blessed. Even when things seem to be going down and falling apart from underneath us, we have hope. Because we can rejoice in our tribulations or in our sufferings, knowing that they're just temporary. We all suffer here. We lose loved ones. We have sicknesses. We have deterioration of our bodies as time goes on. All kinds of different things happen in our lives that shouldn't necessarily happen in a perfect world. But what Paul tells us here is, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. It's no fun to say, yeah, I can't wait to suffer. I can't wait to go through trials. Because let's face facts. Going through tough things is no fun. Facing suffering is not something that we're very good at. But those who have come out the other side have a new perspective. And I've seen it many times. I've seen it with loss of spouses, with loss of children, with loss of abilities, that it produces something in people that is much greater than what we had before we started those things. And that's the endurance. To understand that we can make it till the end. We can make it to the time that Jesus calls us home. Not because we like our suffering, because we know in the end we have the hope and we can rejoice in the fact that there will be no longer suffering. We are not going to face what we face here. This is one of the greatest promises that we have in God through Jesus Christ. And because it's so hard to believe, because mankind can despair so easily, and we can get into this idea of woe is me, it is so terrible that I have to suffer these things. God the Holy Spirit has come. The hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. It witnesses to your spirit that you indeed are a child of God. That He is not going to disappoint you. That His promises are absolutely true for you. That He is taking care of everything for you. And God didn't do this to us while we were worshiping Him. While we were all happy that He was our God. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I want you to think about that. Christ died for the ungodly. We like to think of ourselves as Christian. We like to think that God came individually for us. He did. But He didn't come to us for us because we were godly. He didn't come to us because we followed certain things. He came for the ungodly. He came for sinners. He came for people who had no ability to look to God. And see, this is the hard thing. Because we like to kind of think of ourselves as better than those who don't believe. Well, they're out there and they're doing all their stuff. But we're here. We show up on Sunday morning and we go to Bible study and we learn these things. Obviously, we must be just a little bit better so that God loves us. No. Christ came for the ungodly. And see, we kind of think about this in human reasoning. Why would anybody die for wretches? Do you think that any of our soldiers who have sacrificed themselves in war, especially in our volunteer force, would have done it had they thought our country was worthless and washed up? Most of them wouldn't even have served, except they had a love for our country, a love for its ideals, a love for its people. That kind of sacrifice is what Paul explains here. For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one might dare to die. Most people would not sacrifice themselves for a murderer or a derelict on the street. But God did. God didn't. Because God the Son showed up. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It was not while we became good enough. It was not when we made the decision that we were going to follow Him. As a matter of fact, this happened 2,000 years ago on a cross. Before we even knew what was going on. We had no ability because we weren't born yet. But at that time, Christ died for us. So we have God the Father who loves us. We have God the Son who dies for us. And what does it mean by these actions and God the Holy Spirit who shows us this love? But what does it mean for us now as individuals within this? This happened for the world. It happened for all people. Because now we are justified because we believe in those promises. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved from Him from the wrath of God. Justified. A very simple way of remembering it. Pastor Bruce gave it to me a long time ago. He probably got it from somebody else. But just as if I had never sinned. That's what justified means. That's how God looks upon you. That's how much God loves you. He does not see who we really are. He sees us in His Son, Jesus Christ, perfect and holy, set apart, sanctified. All those big words. This is what happened when Jesus Christ went to the cross. So that we no longer have to worry about the wrath of God. Again, I just heard something from someone about the end of the world. Guess what? If the end of the world comes tomorrow, it is a great thing for us. If it doesn't, it gives us the opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others would know and would be saved from the wrath of God. Because this promise is for all people. Because we too were enemies with God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Paul wants to make this absolutely clear, because he goes over it in different words all the time. Now it's not just while we were weak, or while we are ungodly. But he makes it even stronger. While we were enemies, while we were at war with God, He sent His Son. How much does God love us? He sent His Son to die for Al-Qaeda. Our enemies. How many of us would even think about sending our children to die for them? Not to go over and fight war with them, but to die for them so that they too would be saved from the wrath of God. Most of us would say, no, absolutely not. Look at the terrible things they've done to us. Look at the terrible things that we have done to God through our sin, our disobedience. But God chose to reconcile us to Himself, which means to make us His friends. In the midst of our sin, in the midst of the time that we were at war with Him, God the Father demonstrated His love to us in sending His Son to shed His blood upon the cross. But it does not end there. It does not end with the bloody corpse hanging upon the cross. It ends in victory. Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved? Or how much more, now that we have been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life? You see, it doesn't end in the grave. It doesn't end in a bloody corpse upon a cross. It comes to fruition through the resurrection and the new life that we are given in Jesus Christ. It ends in victory for all of us. And what He asks is that we would believe it. That we would not reject the Holy Spirit who is witnessing to us through this Word and through His power. But we would hang on to these promises and believe them. And rejoice in knowing who He is. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's been given to us. God has declared you His friend. God has declared you His child. God has declared you sinless. God has declared that you are loved by Him. Therefore, as sin came into the world through the one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Kind of an interesting way, and we're not going to end there. I'm going to move on and talk a little bit more about how life came. But all have sinned. Make no mistake. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But we don't have to live there. We don't have to focus on all of that sin. Our thing to focus on is the life that we have been given through Jesus Christ. The life that we now have. We possess because God has given it to us. Yes, we all deserve death because of sin. But God loved us enough that all have been given life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says this, "Therefore, as by one offense judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men to justification of life." That's what God the Father has shown us through God the Son, has demonstrated to us. And that's what God the Holy Spirit witnesses to us. We have one God, three separate functions, but all of them tell us what God the Father wants each and every one of us to know. That He loves us. Loves us enough, even though we're sinners, to die for us. To shed His blood, His Son's blood, for the forgiveness of our sins. Loves us enough to raise Him to new life and to raise us to new life. So that we can live in the victory of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And not worry about the sin, but instead worry about spreading the love of God. Spreading the message of reconciliation to this world. And Jesus did not want us to be alone and try to know this by our own power. And so, after He left, He sent God the Holy Spirit that would witness to us all the things that Jesus had taught. The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak of. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Both as a body of believers and individually. He lifts up the person of Jesus Christ. He lifts up our God, Jesus Christ, to tell us what He has done. And so that God the Father will be glorified by us believing it. It sounds at times confusing. Let me break it down one more time, really quickly. God the Father loves us. And He demonstrated it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son, to die upon the cross. And so God Himself sacrificed Himself and allowed His blood to flow to forgive our sins. And then God the Father raised Him to life. Raised us to new life. And when God the Son had ascended into heaven, He sent us the Holy Spirit to witness to us of this love. To show us the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son, so that we would know how much we are loved. And He didn't do this for us individually. He did this so that He could justify the world, and we could bring this promise to everyone. And that's really what it means to have a God who is a Trinity. He leaves nothing to chance, but gives us everything so that we would believe and know that He loves us.